All right, Real Racing USA live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in beautiful southern Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Angies.
I'm Bill Green.
And I'm Jack Smith.
You got it right.
I thought you was somebody else. I thought you was the alien.
Well, I have AKA, so we'll get into that a little bit later.
Okay.
We're going to be talking to New Smyrna here in a little bit. We're going to talk to Terry Roberts, the big man at New Smyrna.
He is the big man?
Speedway, that is.
Who else are we talking to, Jack?
Second hour tonight, we're going to talk to Marvin Panch, 1961 Daytona 500 winner and one of those top 50 NASCAR drivers of all time.
Is that correct? That's going back, way back.
It's way back. Do you have a list?
The Wayback Machine? What list?
A list
of what?
We're going to talk to Jack Landis, super late model driver from Ohio.
That list.
Yeah.
Shelley Perry, open-wheel modified driver.
From Rhode Island.
Uh-huh. Tony. Come on, Jack.
Now you see, you did it to me.
Benzagno.
Yeah, however.
Benzagno. No, I can't even say it.
Is the World of Outlaws public relations director.
Rob Kohler, Hendry County Speedway, the voice of Hendry County Speedway.
Well,
Jack.
We have Blake Lear. Two young guns who can get it on in race cars. Blake Lear from Fort Myers in Orlando, Florida. And David Wilson from Sarasota, Florida, both of whom will be racing here this week, and we're going to talk to them about what they're doing.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you see the post on the message board about Sam Ard?
What did Sam Ard do?
Sam Ard was the Busch Series champion in 83 and 84. He got in a bad wreck in Rockingham. He got his brain rattled what he got.
Oh, no.
Well, he's living on 12. Now he's retired, of course. He lives on $1,200 a month, Social Security. He's struggling with the effects from the head injury and Alzheimer's disease. So there's a fund set up for him because NASCAR does not take care of their athletes.
Well, not the older ones.
The older ones. It was the same situation Marvin Ponch has.
And also with the NFL, too.
That's right.
But most of the younger ones who came in, you know, in the last 10 or 12 years have learned to do their own 401k kind of thing so they can take care of themselves when they're done.
Yeah, the money's a little different, too. Yeah.
No, there you go. That's a big difference, I bet, right there.
Jack, we got to visit a new racetrack this past weekend.
Oh, before I forget it, we also have Jeremy Gershner.
Sidebar.
Jeremy Gershner, as we speak, is up there in Pinellas Park at his race shop getting ready for the Ocala Blue-Gray big modified race, which Blake Lear is also going to be in.
We've got a pretty good list started already of people for next week's show even. That sounds like a pretty good rundown.
And we have people from all over the country. Where are some of the places where people are listening?
They are listening to us in Monroe, North Carolina, Hayes, Kansas, Clifton, Kansas, Des Moines, Iowa, St. Louis, Missouri, Nova Scotia,
Crossville, Tennessee,
Flushing, New York, Uniondale, Pennsylvania, Ontario, Canada, Bloomfield Hills, Minnesota. Let's see.
We want to send a special hello out there to all those people, race fans in Beckley, West Virginia.
There you go. Madison, Wisconsin. And then, of course, down here in the South, we got a few folks listening in Gainesville, Jacksonville, West Palm Beach, Hollywood, and all points in between Key West, Palm Beach, and, of course, Jacksonville and Pensacola.
And do you know that Rob Kohler is going to join us here in a little bit from
Hendry County
down in Clewiston, Florida. That is the southernmost dirt track in the United States of America.
Now.
And then.
Okeechobee used to be?
Yeah, Thundercross used to be.
Yeah.
So, Rick, how cold was it when we got up to North Florida Speedway?
Oh, it was damn cold. It was really cold.
It was cold. It got out, man, I felt cold on my ears. I hadn't felt that since I lived, like, up north 35 years ago, you know?
When the temperature dropped, like, 20 degrees between 5 and 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I looked at you and I said, you know what? I bet if we left now, we could make the B main at East Bay.
Rain at East Bay beat the cold. But unfortunately, we'll have to go back again because I really do want to.
Nice facility.
Oh, it's a great place. They've made a ton of improvements in the last 2 years since they took the place over.
Yeah, I was really impressed. Yeah. Big pits.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lots of security.
Lots of security. Plenty of security.
Yeah, that was probably because
you know,
Bill
I got
was there.
I just saw something that I didn't realize. Bobby Deal's going to have figure eight tractor trailer.
Yeah, and we're going to have to get back to that in a minute because we do want to talk about these semi-tractor trailer races. But Bill has somebody on the telephone.
No, he doesn't have them yet.
Oh, he don't?
No, he didn't have
them.
Oh,
I thought he did.
No.
Oh, is that what that meant?
Oh, we're doing real good, didn't I?
Well, I'm telling you,
we're
Bill.
We're pros.
So anyway, yeah, these tractor trailer figure eight, semi-figure eights, and they're going to like...
Heritage Transport of, yeah. Transport of Fort Myers challenges Nana's Transports of Cape Coral to a semi-tractor figure eight challenge.
This all started from an argument these guys got into sitting around the racetrack after the races last weekend, and they decided that these guys who own these semis decided they were having, like, bets and stuff. So they decided, like, they went to Bobby and they said, let's go. They're going to settle their differences out on the track in the X at Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
Well, that would be interesting.
And then they're paying $1,000 for boat races in the figure eight.
Right.
These people are crazy.
Everything Bobby does is the world championship. Oh, the world championship. He's the man. Bobby Deal.
Scratch that whole thing.
Okay.
All right.
Now.
So, Bill, how was your adventure up there while you were announcing at the sprint car deal? How did that go?
Cold.
Yeah. Who won that race?
Cold.
Saturday night, who won?
Wayne Johnson won the sprint race, and Steve Arpin out of Fort Francis, Ontario, British Columbia, won the Ontario, Canada.
I noticed Wayne was a kind of big guy. Is he a kind of big
open
guy?
Wheel. No, not really. He's tall, but he's not. Oh, Wayne's not big. Yeah. But, no, Wayne Johnson, the 94 yellow sprinter, he came up and stole the cash. There was some big hitters in that one. Gary Wright made his very first ever, I think, trek into the USCS program and so forth. So there was some cool stuff happening there. Of course, you had Kenny Adams was there. Some of the normal runners, Terry Gray was there, and all four of those were doing very well at the beginning. Terry Gray got caught out in somebody else's spin. He tried to miss him on the bottom as they kind of tweaked and rolled down the hill a little bit, and he caught the back wheel and messed him up and knocked him out of the feature. But otherwise, it was a great race, and they had 32 sprinters. They had 22 sprinters and 32 open-wheel modifieds. And so it was a pretty good show, actually.
That's cool. Well, this weekend there's going to be a place where there'll be a lot of modifieds racing, and they're going to be racing fast, too.
Yep, they're going across the state a little bit.
Yeah,
over north.
New Smyrna Speedway.
New Smyrna Speedway. Well, Terry Roberts on the phone. Terry, how you doing tonight, brother?
Good evening, and how's everybody at the Snook River Grill?
Oh, it's beautiful
cold
down here.
It's beautiful, Terry.
It's not as cold as it was up there when we were up there last week.
It's not. Terry, buddy, it's time for you guys to start working like you mean it, because it's going
to
be like, I don't know how many days you got in a row.
Start working.
I know, but I don't know how many days in a row you got to do now. It's like 9, 10, 12, what is it?
Well, we start Friday. We got 9 nights.
Wow. Jeez. Oh, man, I know that's rugged, no matter how you look at it.
So you got the new pavement, you got the infield, you got all that dust taken care of out of the infield. You don't have to worry about that anymore. It's going to be a cleaner deal anyway, and it's going to be fast, huh?
Well, I think so. You know, it's people haven't seen the track since the paving and the striping. Track is certainly impressive. Everybody's comments when they first see it now is the track looks wider and bigger. Track's no wider. It's like it was before. I think just the new pavement and the striping, and it's striped all the way around three, and looks like a super speedway.
Oh, cool.
Hey, Terry, I know how you make it look wider. The bottom of the wall, about 1 foot up, you paint it black on both sides as it goes around.
Yeah. Everybody thought we paved all the way down to the wall. We didn't.
Terry, I'll get right on that tomorrow. First thing, I'm sure.
It looked. Okay. I've only seen pictures, of course, on the internet, but it looked awesome. It was quite a monumental job to tear up the old asphalt, and you actually used it, I guess, to improve the infield in the pit area, and then put down the asphalt on the outside. What was it like to watch it happen?
Oh, it was wonderful. You know, first of all, you know, I want to thank Robert Hart, because Robert has really stepped forward to do this. And a lot of improvements going on at New Smyrna Speedway in a lot of different areas, and I think that the fans will, and racers alike, will be pleased with what they see. I think that, you know, we've looked at where we were looking at where we're going, and the business plan that we have, and a lot more improvements to be made. Obviously, the major improvement that you is so significant is when you see that track that's been repaved. And, you know, I want to thank Robert and Jay and Andrew Hart for all they've done to do that.
Well, there's a lot of neat things going up at New Smyrna. One of those being last year, you managed to get two really great sponsors along with all the other sponsors you have at the track. But one of those was Bright House coming on board, and you got Radio Disney. I hope that both of those are returning in 2007.
They are back. Bright House is back. The Bright House Challenge this year, we will be announcing that schedule. There'll be a larger schedule for it this year. There'll be races at Orlando and New Smyrna as part of that that series this year. So it'll be pretty exciting. We're looking to make a major announcement on a new sponsor next week during the Speed Weeks, toward the latter part of the week, major sponsor, and that'll affect a lot of people.
Terry, you kick off this Friday. How many cars have you had at the track practicing so far?
I think today we had a couple of modifieds and super lates out there, and every day we've had four or five here.
And is everybody positive on the track right now?
Everybody's just extremely happy with the track. It's just smooth and fast, and the comments have been the longer you run, the faster it gets. And, you know, last week we kept trying to do stuff, and it would rain, and here the last couple of days the weather's cooperated, and now it's starting to get faster.
So you had no problems with the storms that blew through there?
No, you know, we did not. I got blasted last week for something we put on a Karnak about it, and we had been just last Friday morning inundated with phone calls from all over the country that, you know, we were on national news, you know, and our purpose was to let everybody know that we were okay, and our thoughts and prayers certainly go out to those people that were, you know, less fortunate than we are, and you know, that was not the reason that, you know, we were not happy about what happened, and we just wanted to let the world know that we were still here because of the major event coming up.
Yeah, Terry, the ill-advised comments by that person who made that post, unfortunately, later apologized, and I found that at least a little bit heartening.
Yeah. But, you know, whether people know it or not outside of this area, New Smyrna Speedway does a lot in the community, and the Hart family does a lot in the community, and, you know, that's the last thing in the world that we step out and try to offend anyone or do anything that brings any kind of light on anybody who's suffering a hardship. That's certainly not what we're about, and that's not what we're going to do.
Now, every year, for the last several years at least, I think this is I don't remember exactly, I'm sure you do, you have an affiliation with the elementary schools there in New Smyrna.
Right.
Is that going again this year?
Sam Hill Elementary School, every year they sell the programs for the World Series, and all of the proceeds, everything that's done, sales from that program go directly to Sam Hill Elementary School. You know, the Speedway does time in helping get the program together, but every bit of money that's raised from that effort, it goes directly to that elementary school.
Terry, we have one of the drivers that you're probably pretty familiar with, Blake Lear. He's sitting here with us. I think he has a question for
Blake.
You.
Hello, Blake.
Hey, Mr. Robinson. How you doing, sir?
Good.
I'm driving number 4 super late model, and I just wanted to say that you have a great facility over there, and your sponsors and the Bright House races and everything, those are really great races, and I'm excited and looking forward to racing there this season.
Well, we appreciate you, Blake. We appreciate you and your dad coming over and being with us, and your whole crew. Just a class act, and we appreciate you being here and being part of what we're doing.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Hey, Terry, anything big on the horizon that you're going to be changing maybe just after Speed Weeks because you couldn't get it done yet, or anything else happening at the track?
Well, right after Speed Weeks, I will tell you that on March 4th and 5th of Bike Week, we kick off Bike Week with an AMA Pro-Am Supermoto at New Smyrna Speedway. For people not familiar, Supermotos run on asphalt and dirt. They will be racing on the high banks of New Smyrna. They come in through the pits, down the pit road to the rhythm section, back into 3 and 4, back down the back straight, back on the track, and here we go again. Wow. So we have that for 2 days.
But Terry, go ahead.
And then the next 2 nights, we come in with a Stunt Fury show, similar to what was at Lakeland earlier this year. That'll be here for 2 nights. So, on the 9th of March, Friday night, we end up with the Motorcycle Demolition Derby.
Oh, those are always an interesting mix of...
It's a hell of a way to break in new pavement.
Stupidity and...
Well, like the WWE, you kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
On Sunday, March 11th, we'll be having a practice session from 1 to 5. Also, we'll be having a promotion here with Radio Disney. And then we open our season on March 17th.
Well, you're staying busy as usual, man. I got one question came back to my mind about the new pavement. That was, do the asphalt people that put it down or any of those, are there anything you guys will be watching for when it comes to these 28 to 3,000-pound cars as they start to build up more and more pressure, heat,
well,
and so forth, isn't it?
The company that put this down, they're the same. This is the same company that did the mix. This is the same mix that's on Talladega. That's the same company that made the mix for Talladega track. It's also the same mix that's in Turn 1 and 2 at Daytona when they had to do that after they put the tunnel under Turns 1 and 2 and on the road course at Daytona. So... they're pretty confident in their product, and we are also.
Oh, good. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it, because I know that a lot of times you have to worry about some of the things in the back of your mind, but that sounds like that's pretty well got that taken care of.
Well, it is. This, the company that did it, they've been around a long time, and they've done a lot of work, and like I say, they know this stuff, this business.
Can we also take this to mean that means that New Smyrna Speedway should be around for maybe another 20, 25 years for that asphalt to get old?
I would think so. This is certainly in the plan, and as I said, our business plan, we have some other things going on that will be announced, and, we go through the year. Starting in March also, every other Thursday night, we'll be doing street drags on Pitt Road. We'll have the New Smyrna 330 fueled by a full throttle energy drink. So that'll be kind of a neat deal. Well, we got a lot of things, that are in the works. It's becoming more of a multi-use facility in today's business world. That's what you have to be. That's in the, direction that we're headed.
Well, it's great to see a grand old lady like New Smyrna Speedway coming back to life like it is. Terry, the big thing, though, is 9 nights of racing coming up, World Series of Asphalt. When do the gates open and so forth?
Well, Friday we will we start Friday night. Our grandstands open at 4 o'clock Friday afternoon, and racing will start at 7:30. Thursday we'll be parking and ticking, and the first practice will be out Thursday afternoon. And then Friday we'll get the show going. We have on Sunday and Monday night, now we have the TBRA Wing Sprints coming in for 2 days.
Awesome show.
Plus, we'll have here the Aaron Pro Challenge cars on Sunday and Monday night. Then we bring the trucks in at the end of the week for three nights.
Nope. We will certainly see you on the 16th and 17th. We won't miss that for the big modified race on the 16th, and then the Pete Orr Memorial race there on the 17th, and it'll be great.
Well, that's going to be exciting. The Friday night, the Advanced Auto Parts Richie Evans Memorial 100, and then on Saturday night, we'll have the Daytona News Journal Pete Orr Memorial 100.
And we'll once again be making the presentation over there, Terry, for the Pete Orr Sportsmanship Award, and looking forward to that.
Well, we're looking forward to it. There's a lot of excitement going on, and having the track repaved this year has certainly brought a lot of attention from across the country on what's going on here. And I think that when people come, they will they'll be impressed.
Well, you'll get packed in on that Friday and Saturday night as you get so close to the Daytona 500. A lot of folks in the area looking for some racing action. And they'll come down and sit down and take a look at what's going on at New Smyrna for sure.
Yeah. Well, the paving company, go back to them for a minute. They said that probably the only track faster in the country now would be Bristol. And I have to argue, because Bristol's concrete and this is asphalt. So I guess that makes us America's fastest short track.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, Terry.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thanks for all your help.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to a couple of your drivers. We're going to be talking to Shelley Perry and Jack Landis here in a few minutes, Terry, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks now.
Well, it's about that time, 20 minutes after the hour. We'll be back with some more great information, and we'll even remember to turn our mics on. Hey, listen, don't go far. It's Real Racing USA from the Snook River Grill. Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 2nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton, Andrews Dodge.
Here we are back at the Snook River Grill.
Yeah, welcoming the Wilson Racing family along with Blake Lear.
All right, on the phone with us now is Shelley Perry. Shelley, how you doing tonight?
Great. Great to be on. How you guys doing?
All right. Shelley, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get going.
Sure. I started racing the end of the 04 season up at Thompson in the mini stocks, and had a great year last year, won the championship in the mini stocks, and also raced at Stafford and won the championship in the SK Light Modifieds over there.
That sounds like a great start to a career. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
You're not supposed to ask that.
Well, I know, but people are always interested in how girls progress and what age they're running at whenever they're doing so well.
Sure. I'm a late starter, actually. I'm 30 years old.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
Not too bad.
Oh. So,
I've been racing for a long time. I've been a spotter for my dad, and that really started me racing.
Did you have some set goals once you got into the mini stocks and started doing other things? Did you have a set program or plan to move up and try to make yourself more available to better cars and faster cars as you went?
That was always in the back of my mind, but I was just excited to be on the track driving something. So the opportunities that came up to drive different cars, just had a blast with it.
Well, now we're going to see you down in Florida here, I believe, in the next few days and stuff. What kind of racing are you going to be able to do down here?
We're going to actually be running in two divisions, the SK Modifieds and the Modified Tour race cars. So okay. I'm doing some double duty, getting plenty of seat time before the season starts up here.
All righty. That's going to be at the World Series of Asphalt Racing, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you race at Thompson Speedway?
Yes, I do.
What's that like? What's that track? How does that compare, like, say, to New Smyrna?
It's a little bit bigger, and it's got some banking. Straightaways are a little longer.
You race modifieds there?
I will be this year. Last year I was in the mini stock division, and this year I'm moving up to the Sunoco Modified.
So you won the championship there, right?
Yes.
And the SK Light Championship is the mini stock championship?
Nope, that's okay. At a different track.
Oh, okay.
You won two championships last year? You won two championships last year?
Yes.
Way to go.
She went to Stafford Motor Speedway. That's what I was looking
at. Those two speedways, they've got a lot of history, so I imagine there's a lot of competition there.
Oh, yes. Definitely a challenge and a great group of competitors at both tracks.
Wow.
How were you accepted coming in there?
It really wasn't an issue. I'm assuming you're talking about my gender. But it wasn't an issue. I went out there and I raced hard against those guys. They raced hard against me, and we had some fun.
So you spotted for your dad. What did your dad race?
He races a modified.
He's still racing too?
Yes. He'll be down there at New Smyrna for the World Series as well. This will be our first chance to race against each other.
All right.
Well, now, I got to ask you, it said in part of the bio that I read, your brother builds your motors for you. Is that still true?
That's correct.
Okay, now, what was it like to finally get him to do that, or was he wanting to race himself and kind of backed off his racing to help you?
Well, he has a disease called retinitis pigmentosa, which is slowly taking his vision away. So he actually lost his license to drive about 10 or so years ago. So he hasn't been able to race the cars, but he builds the engines and he does crew chief both cars, and he does all the work on the cars. He's pretty incredible.
Wow, I started to say that is pretty incredible. If he's building the motors and you're doing so well with them, and mm-hmm. he can't really see all that well, does he do a lot of this from rote memory that he learned before he started to lose his eyesight and so forth?
Right, a lot by memory. Also, he does it by feel. He's legally blind, but not completely blind, so he can still see some of the gauges. He'll have to hold it close and really concentrate to read some of the gauges, and we help him out. But he knows, he really knows how to build engines.
Yeah, I started to say, imagine if anybody can hear a problem, it's your brother.
Oh, definitely. He can definitely pick out each car on the track just by the sound of the engine.
So you're planning to kick the season off down here in Florida at New Smyrna World Series of Asphalt. What are your plans for the rest of 07?
For the rest of 07, we're going to be running a Sunoco Modified up at Thompson and an SK Modified at Stafford. We're moving up in that track as well. And we're hoping to run a few of the True Value Modified races.
And who's some of the sponsors that help you with that car?
Right now, we're seeking sponsorship. We are a family team, so it's basically just the family and my brother's engine shop that's supporting me right now.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, is this the first big trip to go this far to go racing for this World Series of Asphalt Racing?
Nope. We actually made the trip last year.
Oh, cool.
And it was my first time in a modified in an open-wheel car. And it was a great experience. We had a great time, and we're really looking forward to getting back down there.
All right. Well, I want to make sure that you keep an eye out for a young man named Blake Lear. He'll be in them open wheel modifieds too, and he's on here tonight talking to us. And hopefully, there'll be an opportunity for you to meet some new racers down south and come back and visit more often.
That sounds great. I can't wait.
All right. Well, we appreciate you taking time to talk to us tonight. We hope you pick up some of those sponsors to help you get down here and get back every year.
Great. It's great talking to you, and I appreciate it.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Shirley Perry, where's hometown?
I'm in Ashaway, Rhode Island.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it wasn't written like that when I saw it. Thanks so much, though. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We'll look forward to seeing her come down, see how well she can do against all the big boys.
Okay.
Not bad.
Not bad.
That's the power of a laptop.
Yeah.
The power of a laptop.
Of course, when you're not straight on, you can't see it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's pretty cool. Well, it's nice.
Jumping out of a mini stock into an open wheel modified. SK Light is like our outlaw modified.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's something like that. But the trick is here, you're talking girls versus boys, and you still got a little stigmatism when it comes to, you know, young boys are expected to move on up and do things. But girls that want to go racing, sometimes it's a little more difficult. And finding sponsorship seems to be, Jack and I have even talked about this, should be easier for a girl at this point in racing's lifespan, so to speak, in history, than it would be for a guy to go out and get some kind of sponsorship, because everybody wants to get that diversity, Jack. They want to get that first girl driver and get on board.
I guess. Diversity.
That's it. That's all I hear. That's I got one of the new Cirrus radios. That's all you hear. Diversity
speed.
This, diversity that.
That's what we want, speed.
Yeah, that's the real thing is speed. And they're going to get a lot of that at New Smyrna, it sounds like. So that's going to be awesome.
I think awesome. Rick's trying to hook up with Jack Landis, who's also going to come down. He's going to race super late models down in New Smyrna. And then
can you run us, do you happen to have it, the nine nights, what exactly is happening those nine nights?
I have the printer-friendly schedule right here.
It's right there, the printer-friendly schedule from the New Smyrna Speedway .org website.
Not the one from outer space.
No, not the alien one, but the real one.
That is the alien one.
Friday, Volusia Penny Saver Night, division practices and stuff, super late models, crate ASA type late models, NASCAR Tour type, and SK modifieds, the Florida and IMCA E modifieds, and all kinds of stuff happening.
TBARA sprints two nights in a row.
Yep, those are coming up.
Super late models, like 8 nights out of 10 to 9.
Saturday, right? The 10th, you've got the NASCAR Tour modifieds, the SKs and the Supers. The 11th, you've got the division qualifying, super late models, and TBR wing sprints, late models, IMCA and E modified super late models. Then on Monday, once again, you're going to TBRA back in, NASCAR Tour type modifieds, crate lates, and the SK modifieds. So they're going to have everybody in there. The NASCAR Tour type modifieds are almost every night, I think, for those first six or so nights and right on through. So there's a lot of action going on, including NASCAR Tour modified super late models. And they keep building up for the finale on Saturday the 17th, which is going to be a Pete Orr Memorial and the Richie Evans Memorial on Friday the 16th. So those are some cool races for folks to come down and see. And if they're coming down to go to Daytona anyway, you're only how many miles away? Can't be very far.
It's well, around a block, basically.
1,000 miles away for Jack Landis. And I think we have a super late model.
Veteran. super late model driver. Planning on having so much fun at New Smyrna. He's bringing two cars.
That's right.
Jack Landis. Jack, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing just great. Thanks.
Well, wow.
Hey, Jack, cool. Terry Roberts. We just talked to Terry Roberts. He said that he's now calling New Smyrna the fastest short track in the country.
Fastest short track in America.
What do you think?
Well, I haven't had a chance to get on it yet, but I watched a couple guys practice today, and just by the times that they were turning, I think he's probably not very far off.
What is it about new asphalt that makes it so good?
Well, I think the biggest thing that they helped over at New Smyrna was just made it smooth again. The way different setups and stuff they have nowadays, obviously the smoother it is, the faster we can go. And then if we keep running that, looks like they need to run that bottom groove a little bit more, and there'll be a little bit more bite down on there. They need to get rid of a little of the slipperiness, but once that happens, I'm sure it'll be even faster.
Now, Jack, you've been racing a long time. You've seen a lot of races and been down in New Smyrna a lot. Will the shock difference be a lot without that big bump in turn three now?
Oh yeah, it'll be a lot different. That's we came down here with a setup we ran last year, just on the car, and then we brought another setup that we run at a lot of smoother racetracks. And this morning or this afternoon, we pushed the car out of the garage and we put a lot softer package on the car just because of that bump's not there.
Now, 9 nights of racing on a super late model. Do you have any other races that you race that many consecutive nights in a row?
No. That's why it's so great to come down here to New Smyrna, because for one, you can do a lot of different testing, test different stuff. So, 9 nights down here is like a month and a half at home.
Tell us some of your background, Jack.
Oh, I'm just, started in the street stock days and ran probably 10 years of late models, limited lates, and then I got a chance to run about 5 years of ASA and some other stuff along the way. And then about the last 5 years, I've been driving for a company over in Bryan, Ohio called Manufactured Housing, and that guy really loves racing, and he kind of one of them deals where I wish I'd have met him when I was about 20.
I see you did a lot of racing with you've done a lot of racing with the CRA. We just had the CRA down here with the North South Challenge at Speedfest. Those guys really put on a show.
Yeah, that's a real good organization to run with. They run a lot up, obviously, most of the time in the summer up around my area. And I don't run all their races, but I try to run quite a few of them. I really like to run the super late model, which is a more like an outlaw looking asphalt car that it looks more like your dirt cars down here, but I try running those as much as possible too up around home. They have quite a few big money shows that race those kind of cars, and then it's cool. I race those, and then when I'm not racing those, I try to run as many CRA shows as I can.
So you're running the it's kind of like an outlaw late model almost?
Yeah, they call it they call that our super late models up around home. But it basically is an asphalt car like what we got right now, but it looks like it has a dirt body on it, so to speak. Just a little bit, not as many rules, no templates, nothing like that. And then most of the places we run, they don't have an engine roll either, so just whatever you got, pretty much run.
So that's in Ohio?
Yeah, it's Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, right around in that area, yep.
So it's a wide open class, basically, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's about a page of rules, but it's most of the time it's pretty open compared to like what New Smyrna would run or anything like that.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds more like a super modified kind of deal that they used to have back in the 60s and 70s, where anything went under the hood. It was some of the other stuff that they kind of took a look at, the rear end and transmission and stuff.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
It's pretty open for the most part, but it's all basically the same stuff that we're running right now. It's just a little bit more left side weight, just kind of stuff like that. But for the most part, underneath the sheet metal, it's all the same.
Back to those nine nights, do you have to come into a place like New Smyrna, especially after having new asphalt laid down, and kind of pace yourself? The first practice, you kind of just feel the track out, and then you start working your way up to getting bolder and bolder as the races go on, and you try to, like you said, different shocks and so forth to make sure you finally, by the end of those nine nights in that Pete Orr Memorial race for 100 laps, you've hit your stride hopefully by then?
Yeah, hopefully by the time it's, time to go home, you've figured out, a lot of the stuff that you come down here to figure out. And then another thing you want to do is kind of be cautious because, New Smyrna, they have a lot of wrecks down there, so you want to make sure you got your best car for the last race. And, that's pretty much, you want to be on top of the game pretty much the whole time. So, you're not back there running with where all the wrecks are at, I guess you'd say.
Well, now, when you're not in the car and you're down here in Florida, do you go out and watch any other races, go to Daytona, do those, or any of that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, we tried to do that. Hopefully try a couple races over at New Smyrna or at Volusia County. And, we pretty much hit about as much stuff as we can because, when we left the house, it was like minus 4 degrees and it was snowing. So if I get down in here, I'm going to go do whatever I can do.
Yeah, it was 74 today, I think.
So when you come down for the Speed Weeks racing at New Smyrna each year, is this like just a vacation? Or are you shaking out your car for the next season that you race up north, or what is your how is that?
Well, we try to come down a few days beforehand. We got down here like Sunday, so since Sunday we've been trying to find some things to do. It's only been a couple days, but we've been trying to figure out what our schedule, what it can be like, what we can go visit, just that kind of stuff. We go through Daytona. It seems like I bring a couple guys down with me that haven't been here before each year I come down. So, we like to go through the deal that they got at Daytona and some of the other things they have to see around here that's kind of neat to take part of.
Cool.
So it looks like you're going to hit some of the ASA races this year too?
Well, I went to two of them last year that was in our area. They got a couple different classes that race around in our area that uses kind of the same rules that the ASA does. So, there won't be a weekend I won't be doing something, put it to you that way.
So you'll be spreading the racing out pretty thick.
Yeah, we race pretty much every weekend, and we try to race a couple different times.
You ever had a chance to step way outside the class that you came to run and maybe sit in somebody else's car and go for a ride and something else while you're down this way?
No, that'd be a lot of fun, though. I've been fortunate that there's a few people that I know up north come down here and run at the big track at Daytona. So, it's neat to call them on the phone and, I give them the scoop on what's going on out there in New Smyrna, and they give me the scoop on what's going on, like maybe at an ARCA show or a Busch show down here at Daytona. So it's kind of neat to talk to a few of them people. And then every now and then they show up at New Smyrna. So that's kind of neat to see people I haven't seen in a long time.
That would be cool. Hey, come on down. You can do some hot laps.
Yeah.
So you bring the whole family down and you make a big party of it?
No, they're not going to get to make it this year. But last year was a big party of it. This year, I do have some family that's down here. But for the most part, it's just a bunch of old friends. And the old friends you met at the track years ago or last year. And who knows, you always meet a couple new ones,
cool.
Throughout the 9 days at New Smyrna.
How many years you been coming down?
I've been down here 5 years, but I missed 1 year in there somewhere. But, this year is the first year that I've went ahead and brought two cars. I normally just bring one because it seems like I always got to fix that one when I get home. So I figured that I'd have only banged one of them up. It wouldn't take me so long once I got home. But the boss said we need to take two of them down there to make it to that last night, that Pete Orr 100. So that's where our goal is hopefully we'll make it all the way to the last night.
before we run out of time here, when you go back in up north and stuff, how long's your season? When's it start and when's it have to finish because the snow comes back or something?
Yeah, we can get down to Nashville. Like, they got a CRA race, I think, the first weekend of April, April 1st, I think. And then, April 20th, they go to Anderson, Indiana. And it's a little chilly back, you know, at that time then. But it just kind of gradually starts up. May, they're usually going full tilt.
And then you guys have to start slowing down around September, October, or before that?
Yeah, October, usually late October. Finally, all the big shows are over with by then.
Well, I'm glad to see you coming down to Florida and you keep coming back, man, because we got a long season down here, sometimes 40 weeks long, 45.
Yep.
So it's always nice to have you visit. We appreciate you taking time to talk to us here.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you calling me up and getting me on your show, and I look forward to seeing you over there at New Smyrna.
We'll be seeing you up there, Jack.
All righty. Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here. Don't forget, coming up in this second hour, 1961 Daytona 500 winner Marvin Ponch.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
All right, Real Racing USA, right here at the Snook River Grill. 2505 Manatee Avenue East. This is Bradenton, Florida.
The snookiest. And I think what we're going to do here is we're going to take a little trip across the country to Indianapolis, Indiana, I believe, at the airport.
That's got
to
be
at the airport.
At the airport.
That's
got
to be a cold thing.
We were able to track down.
A little bit longer of a day than I had planned, but nonetheless, good way to wind the day down coming and talking to you guys.
Yeah. So this is Tony Veneziano. Is that how's that Tony? Did I get it?
Close enough. Tony Veneziano. Just call me Tony V.
Tony V. Tony V.
Tony V works just fine.
World of Outlaws public relations director. How you doing, man? Besides being a little chilly.
Doing pretty good. Excited for Friday to be here. That's for sure. It seems like the season just ended. Off season's gone by pretty quick. We're really excited to be down there at Volusia come Friday night.
Man, how many shows do you guys do in a year now? How many shows do you do with the World of Outlaws in a year?
Tony, you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, guys. Having a little trouble hearing you here. I've got the phone, I think, turned up all the way, but nonetheless, you know.
I'll turn us up.
Come up. I know you guys have been talking to your listeners about it. Obviously, everybody coming back this year. All the guys around with the NFT last year will be back. So definitely looking for some high-level competition this season.
Now, I was asking about the number of shows that the World of Outlaws does in a year is like 108 or something, isn't it?
Yeah, right now, last count on the schedule, they're still ironing out a few. It'll probably be close to about 90 when it's all said and done. I know a little bit down from the old days when they used to run about 110 nights, but last year we ran 69 total nights, so the drivers are definitely excited to get, you know, close to 90 races. A lot of them want to race about 100 times a year, but, you know, ultimately about 90 races is a good number because it's hard on the crews. They're the ones that, you know, they put in the long hours every day at night, and ultimately, when you get up there to that 90 to 100 race threshold, it's pretty tough on those guys. The drivers, they'll race every night, but you ultimately got to look out for the crews a little bit.
And I tell you what, now I've looked at the schedule. It looks like you guys go to more places, more states, more towns than most any other traveling series in the country. And starting down in the South like this early in the season, must give you the opportunity to be able to do that and then come back to the South as the snow creeps back in later in the year.
Yeah, it certainly does. And, of course, a lot of the guys have their shops based in the North, you know, be it here in Indianapolis or guys from up in the Minnesota area like Craig Delansky or Donnie Schatz, even up there in North Dakota, which is, you know, even probably the coldest place you can get in the winter. So it's definitely great for those guys to get to come south. And also for the fans, I mean, a lot of people, you know, you get tired of sitting in the cold and you get a couple of days off, say, hey, we'll fly down there, go down there to Volusia, go to East Bay, go to the tracks in Florida and take in some action. So it is good to start the season off in the warmer weather places, ultimately to get out of the climate that a lot of us are stuck in for the whole winter.
Big coup this year for the World of Outlaws, ESPN2.
Yeah, that's certainly everybody excited for that. You know, a long time coming. A lot of people said, you know, ESPN obviously has done a lot for racing over the years. Last few years, they kind of stepped back. They were doing some of the open-wheel racing. Now they're going to do even more open-wheel racing. So it's definitely exciting to see. Those will be 8 races starting in June, I believe, June the 17th, a Sunday afternoon at 12:30 Eastern for 8 consecutive Sundays. So, you know, for fans that normally don't see a sprint car race, if they're flipping through those days and stop and watch a couple minutes, I guarantee those people are probably going to come back and watch another one.
No doubt about it. You know, and the other thing about World of Outlaws and how big it's gotten is all these NASCAR guys that own teams, Casey Kane, Tony Stewart, the list goes on and on, you know, and they got excellent drivers like Casey's got Joey Saldana, so, you know, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, exactly, and that, you know, that brings some of the fans as well, some of the people that know the NASCAR names, they'll see that, you know, Tony Stewart has a car out there, or Casey Kane has a car out there, and they'll come to the race mainly for that fact, and once they see the racing, they get hooked as well. And, you know, it's a good thing to have that with the NASCAR notoriety that some of these people, you know, it helps open these doors. And obviously the guys like Tony and Casey, their heart and soul, their passion's in the short track dirt racing where they got their start. So, you know, they enjoy coming out there as often as they can to support the team. And they just put a lot of effort in, you know, even when they're not at the track.
I got to ask you, what's the return of Steve Kinser mean to the World of Outlaws?
Oh, it definitely means a lot. I mean, when you talk about Steve Kinser, obviously, you know, he basically is the World of Outlaws. I mean, he's won 20 titles, 533 races. I mean, the stats just go on and on. And, you know, to have a guy like that coming back, obviously, you know, battling against guys like Donnie Schatz, Craig Delansky on a nightly basis. They had a couple of opportunities to race against each other last year. But, you know, having them night to night this year close to 90 times, that's going to ultimately benefit the fans. I mean, a lot of fans last year said, you know, hey, where are these guys at? And, you know, they were anxious to see those guys, and they'll get that opportunity now that everybody's back together this year.
Tony, Jack Smith here. Do you have any, like, just off the top of your head, do you know how many people you guys perform in front of throughout the year live at the tracks?
Man, that's an interesting stat. I know last time we checked, we were the second largest motorsports entity in the country attendance-wise behind NASCAR. That's obviously not only the World of Outlaws, but also the late model series as well as the Advanced Auto Parts Super Modified series up in the Northeast. So, you know, we have a few more avenues to go with the different series, and now we have UMP in the fold as well. So, you know, on a nightly basis, I'd say for a World of Outlaws event, you usually have, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 fans in the crowd, depending, you know, on the track you're at. Obviously, when you're at places like Eldora and Knoxville, they have more stands out there, so there you can get the 15,000 to 20,000 people. Obviously, Knoxville National, 35,000. But, you know, nonetheless, on an average night, I'd say probably 3,000 to 5,000 people show up, and that's a pretty good crowd.
That's a darn good crowd. Now, what is the relationship? How is the structure of the World of Outlaws like with dirt? Is that like the DIRT? Is that like the sanctioning body? How is this thing structured?
Yeah, Dirt Motorsports ultimately is kind of the umbrella that owns everything. Then underneath you have obviously the World of Outlaws, which is the sprint car series. Then you have the 360 OTC World of Outlaw late model series. And then underneath even more, you have the Mars series, the Mid-American Racing Series late model regional tour based in the Midwest. And then ultimately under that's the weekly UMP, United Midwestern Promoters sanction. So Dirt owns them all, but in many ways they're separate entities, you know, just under that umbrella. And each one has their own staff, obviously, and a lot of, you know, a lot of work goes into it by the individual staff, and then as well from the people up top at Dirt Motorsports. You know, they try and oversee everything, and in some instances try and, you know, coordinate everything and market them as one, ultimately, but also three or four separate, you know, all the different entities.
How many times do all of those or any of those actually perform in the same weekend at the same track?
Not very often, unfortunately. One thing we'll actually have this year, we'll have the Outlaw World Finals. That'll be the inaugural event come November 1st out there at Lowe's Motor Speedway, the dirt track in Charlotte. And that'll actually be the sprint cars and late models on the same bill. And I believe that's probably a first, having both of those at the same time competing at the same track. So definitely for fans, that'll be a good thing that they'll get to see all those cars on the same track.
Wow.
Tony, how long have you been with World Outlaws?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that one. A couple people passing by here in the terminal.
I said, how long have you been with World of Outlaws?
I started with the World of Outlaws actually last April. The first race I attended was April the 15th at Tri-State Speedway in Hobstadt, Indiana. I've been with them ever since. So this will be my first full season, but basically been with them almost a year coming here in a few weeks.
I tell you what, they keep you busy pumping out press releases. You really get it out there, man. It's a good thing you got computers. You'd have writer's cramp if you had to write all that stuff.
Yeah, that's for sure. I know people are probably getting tired of me here today. They're probably thankful I didn't have a computer all day, because I've been sending, I know, 4 or 5 things a day. So tomorrow they'll definitely get twice the amount since I didn't have computer access today. But nonetheless, you know, having 30 drivers basically full time this year, it for sure is keeping us busy. But you know, we welcome that and we enjoy it.
Oh, it's great, because it's a lot of information, and that's a good thing. It's better to have a lot more like that than more series need to do that sort of thing.
And you're a promoter's dream, because when you're coming, they know they've got these 30 guys plus some extras right. Going to show up, and it makes for one heck of a show.
Oh, that's for sure. You know, we enjoy making sure everybody has the information they need. I know, you know, we don't have the most resources by far. We don't have the most people working for us as other series do, but nonetheless, you know, we make do with what we have, and we definitely have the passion for the sport. And you know, that probably fuels us for those evenings when we're up till 5, 6 in the morning finishing stuff after a race.
So I think we're going to be able to hook up with you next weekend, this coming weekend, the 13th or what was the 11th? Is that what it is?
February the 11th, Sunday.
February the 11th, Sunday over at Volusia.
Yeah, we definitely look forward to that. 3 straight nights of racing out there, the Dirt Car Nationals. And it'll be 25 laps the first 2 nights on Friday and Saturday, then a big 30-lap finale that'll pay $12,000 to win. On a Sunday night, the first 2 nights will pay $8,000 and $8,000 to win. So definitely some money on the line, and we for sure look forward to having you guys out there. And make sure to get a few drivers come your way, and we'll just, you know, keep everybody excited here for the open of the season.
We're looking forward to meeting you, Tony.
Hey, look forward to meeting you guys. I got to thank you for all the help, all the great things you guys do, and look forward to working with you down the road again.
All right, man, we appreciate it, and we will definitely have some fun with you when we get there, and we'll have you back often throughout the year to make sure we keep up on what's happening in the World of Outlaws.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Stay warm.
Thanks.
Tony V checking in with us from the World of Outlaws. He's
from
in
the
airport out there in the frozen tundra of Indianapolis, apparently. So
Looking forward to seeing that, man. I did see a World of Outlaws.
Yeah, I've seen one too. But
where'd you see yours?
Mine was way out in Northern California. Back had to be 10 years ago now, 12 maybe.
I saw him in the dome.
Oh, did you?
I went to the dome.
That's
show.
Loud.
Where's that? Indy?
No.
Where?
St. Pete.
Yeah. When they did the one show,
the only indoor show for the World of Outlaws.
I was there. You haven't. You got to go look it up, because starting in row number 13, side by side, was a very young Sport Allen and a very much older Taylor Andrews.
Imagine that.
Gene Lasker raced there, too.
Yep.
Hey, I'll tell you what, guys. Why don't we take a quick break here? Come back with Rob Kohler from Henry County. Get that in before the break. Then we have Marvin Ponch coming up in the second hour. And we have the young guns, Blake Lear and David Wilson. And Jeremy Gerster still up toiling away.
Okay. Another 3-hour show at 2 hours.
There you go.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. right. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and U.S. 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Turn to the power of Short Track America Motorsports Entertainment, Carnac.com, for all local and national racing news from all over the world.
That's Carnac, K-A-R-N-A-C.com.
Carnac.com.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Bill's the producer. Bill's the producer.
Bill is the producer.
I didn't get to produce nothing. You just went on.
He's the producer.
All right, children.
All right.
That's what I should do. Step from one side.
On the telephone with us right now.
No way.
The South's southernmost short track, dirt track, well, short track.
Yeah.
In the United States. Hendry County Speedway.
Dud-a-lum, 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 dud-a-lum.
Rob Kohler. Rob, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Rob said he was listening to us and we sounded good.
Yeah, when they say the mouth of the South, they really mean it when they talk about Rob Kohler.
As far south as you can go. Unless they're running in Puerto Rico still.
Rob, you know, Hendry County Speedway, I've been involved in short track racing in Florida for about 11 or 12 years, and ever since I've been involved, Hendry County has been like a yo-yo. It goes up and it goes down, and it's really good to see it back on and up.
Yeah, I think this time it's going to stick around. We've really got some good backing and some things going on there. I think this time is really going to stick.
Well, that's good to hear, real good to hear, because it has been difficult. Not only would you be the youngest short track in the nation right now, from what I can tell, I haven't seen any others that are cranked up this time of the year, but you'll also get the opportunity of being, like we say, the southernmost short track in the United States, and that could come into play very well for you, as with the loss of Hialeah and Thundercross being gone, there's a lot of folks looking for a good place to go that they don't have to go as far as they have to go right now.
Yeah, we've actually gotten a lot of influx of cars from Hialeah. And of course, Thundercross is obvious that those cars would come right over and run with us. It's worked out really good for us, and the track's really starting to take off.
What's the program like right now? What is the program down there?
Well, as you stated, we are a young track, a very young facility, and we're trying to get the program off the ground. It's been taking off really good. We've been having excellent car counts, and the fans are starting to get to know that we're out there, and we're starting to have some really big shows. We've had a really good late model show recently, and all the classes have been having great turnout.
Is the track holding up like you'd like? Is the surface and all the things that you had to do to get the infrastructure going, all the things working as well as you'd want them to work, or are there some more improvements coming that the fans that have been there will start to see shortly?
I'm sure we're going to see many more improvements. We are just starting to get used to how this dirt takes all the cars hitting it. We did bring in more dirt than was there in the previous years that the track was open. We have new clay, and we're kind of getting used to working that clay and making it acceptable to the cars. The only real thing we're working on is moisture. The track holds together excellent. We've had no big holes develop, nothing that makes it hard to drive. We're just working on finding the proper moisture.
Now, what did you guys do when it came time to sit down and go through all the things that I know you have to do in the background? You've got to get those security and safety crews in. You've got to get people working the track. You've got to get people taking tickets, parking cars, from flaggers to race directors to everything else you got to do to make this happen. How did all those things come together over these past few months?
Well, fortunately for us, this track was in existence. I personally have been racing out there since about 95, and so there was a lot of people came out with a lot of volunteer support. Everybody in the area wanted to see the track get back going again. So it's not been too hard to find people that have knowledge of the sport and everything to come out and give us a hand getting it off the ground.
Well, I know the one big thing, of course, that comes in with that is somebody who takes care of the surface of the track, making sure it's manicured and properly taken care of, the moisture's put on at the right time and in the right way. How's that working for you, and who's doing the job?
Mark Taylor's been doing the job of track prep on the place, and I think he's been doing a really good job. Like I say, we're working on finding ways to hold the moisture into the ground, you know, being a new track and whatnot. We kind of, you know, every place has different dirt, and we're getting used to our dirt. And I think once we get a real good system in place for the moisture factor, the track holds together. We don't have any problems in that department. We just like to try and find a little bit more grip for the guys.
Now, when you're talking about dirt, I know that most of the clay surfaces is what everybody's using. Did you have to go a good ways away to get the clay, or is there somewhere near Okeechobee that has decent clay for this purpose?
We had to do some travel, and I believe they even imported some of the clay from Thundercross into our track. I know we got some of the grandstands from Thundercross, and so we've just we've brought in, you know, everything we could get a hold of to try and get this place off the ground. And I know that the track has got to be a good 30 feet wider in the corners than it used to be back in the days.
Why do they call you Cowboy?
It's probably not for what people would think. I have nothing to do with ranching, obviously. I'm a racer. Cowboy comes from when I raced four-wheelers. My riding uniform was cow print. So I got dubbed the Cowboy.
Okay. Yeah, I was just reading y'all's message board, and yeah, they like to call you Cowboy. Bill and I are both announcers. How did you end up in the booth?
Well, back in about 2003 when Steve Mettinger bought the track, just part of the volunteer group that got involved with that, I volunteered my services to the microphone. I had no idea that it would suit me as well as it has. I've actually retreated from racing because I enjoy the announcing position so much for the moment. I had a pretty good run of it when I was working for Steve Mettinger, and when the new owner opened up the track, they had heard that I put up a good job, so they gave me a shot, and everybody out there seems to enjoy listening to me. I don't know why. I sure talk an awful lot, and you think people get tired of hearing me, but they don't.
Hey, well, I tell you why I did it, and that was because I never went home with a wrecked race car and always went home with money in my pocket. So
same here, Bill.
There you
go. Yeah, there is certainly that aspect, but I enjoy it. You know, it's getting behind the scenes. I like to go around in the pits before the races and talk to, you know, different drivers, different crews, and everybody's been very open to me. I've not had any trouble, getting people to talk to me and tell me, hey, you know what, I did this to my car this week, and we're going to see if it works a little better, So I try to incorporate that into my show, give the fans a little bit of information of what's going on behind the scenes. A lot of them don't get a chance to get into the pits and talk to the drivers like I do, and I really appreciate the chance to be able to get out there and really, get involved with the running of the track and how things are going out there.
All right, Rob, before we wrap this up, what do you got coming up?
We've got a race coming up this weekend, a big race. It's a 50-lap street stock race, and I think it's going to be a great turnout. That's $2,500 to win, and street stock cars don't usually get a chance to go for, really good money like that. So I think we're going to have an excellent turnout for that show. We got some mini stockers and bombers, and we're going to try and pull some late models in. I know everybody's pretty busy up there in the northern part of the state right now, but we have some local late models that will most likely show up.
Yeah, I know. Jeff Choquette told me he might try and make a couple of your late model shows this
year.
Yeah,
Justin Choquette puts on a really good show. Richard Wheelahan comes out there and puts on a really good show. We got Win Ingersoll runs out there. Perry Crow runs with us. Those are the four cars that I could expect to see. And hopefully we'll get a couple of these guys that are tired of getting their butts whipped up north and maybe come down and give a shot at our track.
Hey, what's Choquette's nickname, you know?
Honestly, I don't.
Gunslinger.
Gunslinger, huh?
And Rob, y'all got to watch out for a guy. If a guy down there comes down there by the name of Leroy Davidson in a dirt car trying to run with them late models, look out.
I'll be looking for him then.
Yeah, Leroy's known as Sandbagger.
All right, Rob, we appreciate you having you on the show, man. Keep us informed on what's going on down there in Hendry County.
I really appreciate the chance to get on and talk to you guys. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
All right, man. That's pretty cool. Get in on the ground floor and help make something happen. That's pretty neat.
Another quick break, and then
you
we're going
so?
To Daytona?
Okay. We can try another quick break. Let's just do it this way and make it really, really easy on us. It'll only be about a minute and a half, folks. Don't
Good.
Go far. Did I mention we're live at the Snook River Grill every Tuesday night from 7 to 9 p.m.? Make sure you drop by. Bring the family. It's great eats, great time, great fun. It's Short Track America and Real Racing USA. Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Turn to the power of Short Track America Motorsports Entertainment, Carnac.com, for all local and national racing news from all over the world.
That's Carnac, K-A-R-N-A-C.com.
Carnac.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I told you it was going to be a short one. I hope you didn't run the refrigerator to get a cold one because you probably didn't get back in time. But we are going back live on the air and talking with one of the racers who people don't really realize a bunch of these guys are out there. They've won races and done things in NASCAR long before 1970 came along and it became popular to be on TV. But Marvin Panch is with us. And Marvin, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine, Rick. Everything's going along wonderful.
Well, this is Bill Green, but that's okay. I didn't get a chance to get to Lakeland to meet you and stuff, but I've read an awful lot about you already, and it seems like you're one of those guys that I would have loved to have been around if I'd been a teenager in the 50s and 60s and getting a chance to go racing, because it sounds like if it had wheels, you were willing to go race it.
Well, if you heard everything about me, that wasn't all good, was it?
Well, it may not all be.
Let me tell you a quick story, Bill. When Robert introduced us to Marvin when we were at Lakeland, he said, do you know who this is? And we said, no. And he said, I'm Wendell Scott.
He's a good guy. Oh, Wendell was all right.
Yeah.
Hey, that's one of the things I wanted to make sure we got to cover with you, is because people realize what NASCAR racing was about after 1970 and that big race on TV and all the things that happened there. But before 1970, you were there. You were doing the racing in the 50s and so forth. What was it like back then compared to what you saw in the 70s and 80s and, of course, what we're looking at now?
Well, we started on the beach, which was a little different than any other race. If you weren't leading a race, you got sandblasted. You couldn't see out the windshield, so you had to have other means of seeing. So we used to cut a little round hole in the windshield and kind of peek at it, plus pull off tear-off sheets. But that would really sandblast. And it was a little different. You had real soft corners. They were like going through a plowed field. But this beach and the pavement itself was good.
Well, now, but back in the 50s, long before you ever came to the beach and so forth, running some of those tracks throughout the mid-Atlantic states and the Midwest here, what was it like to be a member that traveled a little bit with NASCAR? You got to go a few times. I see in 1953, I think you got to make your first big start for the Petty family.
Well, NASCAR was a good thing. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. I went to Indy to take my driver's test to run Indy, and that didn't work out for me because the gentleman taking the test before I did spun the car and messed up the injector, so I ran out of time on that. And I went across the street to 16th Street Speedway and ran under a different name over there. And the 3A officials were up in the grandstand. And the next day in the garage area at the Indy, I ran head-on into them. And they said, what are you doing in there, Pants? You're out. So actually, they did me a favor. That was the best thing that could ever happen to me. That then I came and ran NASCAR, and that's been very good, very super for me.
So Marvin, are you telling me that you weren't out there running moonshine and stuff, and that's not really how you learned it?
Oh, I don't think those guys did that. Just ask them. They'll tell you they didn't do it.
way back out in California, though, in the time when you started racing in the early 50s, what was it like to run the little short tracks that are now well-known in some places? Some of those tracks may have come and gone, but, I mean, what kind of things were going on that got you into racing in the first place and got you out of the track first time?
Well, actually, we ran short tracks back there, but we had racetrack called the Oakland Wall, which had a concrete lift sticking over the racetrack. And in order to run fast and get in a groove, we had to go up and bounce off the wall and concurve the right side of our car and then reinforce it so we could run faster up in the top groove. So that was similar to Darlington, a track similar to Darlington, only this track had a concrete lip over. And boy, did it smell when you go up there and first grind the paint and that off the side of your car.
So when Smokey offered you that Pontiac ride in 61 and you won that Daytona 500, was it as big a thing then as it is now?
The money wasn't the same, but the win was, it sure was. I'll tell you a little story about that right quick. The car I drove was the car Fireball campaigned in 1960. And it was sitting in the shop wrecked because the car had blown four tires during the season and the right side was wiped out on it. And the mechanics working on the new car for Fireball said, "Smoke, let's run that old car." And Smoke says, "Nah, it's too wide, too heavy. It's just not going to go through the air like the new one." They said, "Well, we think it will." And he says, "Well, your thinking's wrong, but," he says, "if you want to do it, you have to take it outside the shop. I'll furnish sheet metal, motor, and all that stuff for it, but you guys are on your own time." So it actually was a second car. It was car Fireball campaigned in 60. So as it was, it worked out real good for me.
Well, Fireball was actually leading that race, wasn't he?
Yes, Fireball was leading the race. Actually, what happened was, in the qualifying races, we ran 1-2. And I guess we were one of the first ones that come up on the draft, and we hooked up and we kind of left everybody in the qualifying race. And then after the qualifying race, Smokey came up to me and he says, "I don't want any of that in the 500. I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "No," he says, "if something happens to Fireball," he says, "I don't want you in the same mess." So he says, "When the start of the race, you back off and run back away so you won't get in the same mess in case something happens." And that's what I did until he uncorked his engine. Well, actually, you might remember the story. They said the starter fell off and bounced up and poked a hole in the oil pan.
Right.
Well, it did. When the crank breaks, it usually does something like that. So then they gave me the sign to go, and I had to make up some time. And I ended up, I had three 61 Pontiacs I had outrun there. And finally, it got that job done. That old 60 ran as good, if not better, than the 61. So after the race, I don't believe Pontiac was really too happy that we won it with an old 60. They wanted a new car to win, naturally. But no one held up a sign saying, "Back off." And besides that, I was hungry.
I needed
that ride, and I needed that win.
Now, back then, you didn't have radios to communicate with. What did you use?
Oh, they used the board. They held a board out and tried to get out there where we could see it. What I do now quite a bit, I go short track racing. Not racing myself, but I enjoy going to short track. Matter of fact, something I'm looking forward to very much is New Smyrna coming up. They repaved that track, and when all these guys come down from up north, there's going to be a lot of surprises there for the spectators. So that track should how it's always been real fast, and I expect it to be a lot quicker, and then, of course, it might be slipperier, too, so you never know. So I'm kind of interested to see what's going to happen over there.
I got to ask you, Mark, if you were walking around New Smyrna Speedway watching the racing, that's so close to Daytona, do you often have somebody stumble up and go, hey, I know who you are, and they introduce themselves and you get a chance to hear something from an old time?
Some do, but not too many. Matter of fact, I'm over the hill and they don't recognize you anymore. And the new group, naturally, will not recognize you, but every once in a while I run into an old guy like myself that will recognize me.
Well, I'm sure it's fun, and I know we'll be looking forward to seeing you, and maybe we can get some people to start recognizing you, I bet.
Oh, maybe so. Well, what might help, too, my daughter and her husband is coming out with a book, racing book, and it's going to be available during Speed Week. You can get it now on marvinpants.com, but we're going to have a book signing Tuesday on Beach Street, so that would be the first time it would be out.
Now, Marvin, I spoke with your daughter who helped put the book together, and one of the things that she was talking about was so many of the fans today, the new fans, which most of the NASCAR fans today who are watching the races on TV and going to the shows and stuff weren't around when you were doing your magic, so this is a great way for these new fans to connect up with the past.
Yeah, it sure will. I tell you what, the book's going to be full of some of the older pitchers, quite a few of them, and it's going to be interesting just to look back. Even if they can't read, if they look at the pictures, they're going to get a big kick out of it.
There you go. When we were at Lakeland, we talked to you for a few minutes about the I remember I asked you about the comparing the cars that you saw out there on that track to the kind of machines that you guys raced. And can you talk to us a little bit about how vastly different it is?
Oh, it's definitely different. Matter of fact, I met quite a few of those drivers there that night. And I'll tell you one thing, they're about as nice and neat a bunch of guys that you'll ever find together on the same racetrack. They were all interested in meeting me, and they couldn't have been nicer to me, and they're a really great bunch of guys, and their equipment is real quick, and there's a bunch of these drivers that are super, super good drivers that never get an opportunity to run at Daytona or with NASCAR, but there's a lot of them out there that are capable. It's just a shame that more of them can't get that opportunity.
Did you get to catch that old race at Lakeland that night?
Yes, I did. For a while there, we thought it was going to get wet. They stopped it for a while and then come back on. No, they did. They put on a good race there. Sure did.
I tell you what, it must be a lot of fun to get out to the tracks and get a chance to still see what's going on in racing. And they have the knowledge that you do firsthand of what really went on for NASCAR to become what it has today. It's got to be a really, really great thing. And now that you've put it in book format, so a lot of folks can get a chance to see your bird's eye view of what was going on back then and what it's become now, has got to be an awesome, awesome treat, and it's got to be a lot of satisfaction for yourself.
Actually, racing's the same today as it was back then. They're just different players. But the main thing that I'm really jealous about is when you win a race today, you make big money. Back then when we ran, that wasn't heard of.
Oh, how much did you win when you won the Daytona 500?
The car took in about $21,000, but see, I was driving for Smokey, and I was on a 40% deal to drive for him, and after the race, we went to settle up. He said, anybody good enough to win a race is worth 50% to me, and he gave me an extra 10%.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. But it's
how often do you get a car owner do you that way?
Well, not too much anymore, I bet, because it's all written in black and white nowadays on the contract.
Oh, yeah. It was just a handshake back then.
So Marvin, this week coming up is going to be a busy week for you. You're sort of on a book tour, aren't you?
Yes, we got a lot to do next week. I've got four dinners to go to. I've got to give an award to Bill Wimble for the Living Legends group. And got this book signing. And the car that I won Daytona with, I still have, that 60 Pontiac of Smokies, that's going to be out at the Coca-Cola tents out there by the flea market. It's going to be out there all week, and that should be exciting because they're going to have entertainment, I understand, every day or every night, and So I'm looking forward to that. And then it'll also be our book signing there. It'll be our first book signing.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing the book and lots of folks getting it and going to MartyPonch.com and check it out.
Yeah, Marvin, you know, we have a pretty large website. We have probably 25, 35,000 visitors a week. And what we'll do is we're going to put a little link on our site so that people can go find your book and see if we can help you sell a few copies. And we certainly appreciate you spending the time tonight with us. And maybe we could hook up with you again in a few months, and you could tell us some more stories.
Very good. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you doing that. My daughter and her husband will really appreciate it because they've worked night and day for months on that book. So appreciate whatever you do for them. Deeply appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate you, buddy. We thank you for all the things you went through to make things happen back in the day and make it what it is today. And there's a lot more recognition that needs to be given to a lot of the guys that are in your same boat that are out there enjoying watching what's going on now, but they're not getting a whole lot of credit like they should for what they did back when.
Well, that's true. You're soon forgotten after the deal's over. There's a whole new group of people now, and it's a different deal. It's all together different. The cars are all different. It's all high tech now. It's amazing how far how far NASCAR came along and what a marvelous job they've done.
One thing they can never take away from you, Marvin, is you're a winner of the Daytona 500.
Well, thank you. That's not everybody has done that, I guess.
No, sir.
Thanks so much, Marv.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed talking to you. Thank you.
All right.
All right, Marvin.
Marvin Panch.
Panch.
MarvinPanch.com. Awesome. I was looking at some of the stuff in that book, and I think I'm going to pick a copy of that book.
Yeah, I think whenever we're up that way and I see him, I may get him to sign one for me. That'd be kind of cool.
No doubt about it.
I can put it right next to my Minnie Pearl book.
Pearl. She was a neighbor of yours, wasn't she?
Yeah, she went to school with my mom, actually. Grinder's Switch was down from where my mom grew up at Hurricane Mills, and they went to school together. But anyway, that's pretty cool.
I like
that. Oh, well, let's not get too old too fast. Jack will get mad at us.
You're not related to Lisa Nowak, are you?
No, not at all. I will look forward to... we're talking about you going to the bathroom every 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, you know.
Anyway, we'll be back, folks. Don't go far. We got some young guns in the house. We're going to talk to them about how they can kick butt for the old guys. Beat them veterans up. Kick them to the curb and pass them. That's what's coming up.
Hi, this is Rick Bristol, driver of the number 30 Toyota Industrial Equipment Florida Lift System, Southern States Toyota Lift Truck, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to Sprint Car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078.
All right, welcome back to the Snook River Grill as Short Track America's Real Racing USA comes back with a vengeance. We are going to... I'm just still kind of in awe about
Marvin?
Yeah, Marvin. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's awesome. We get to talk to somebody like that.
Yeah, as we go through this year, we're going to do a lot of that kind of stuff with guys that we call them the old timers have been around because they got some great stories.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, that's the winner of the Daytona 500.
Back when it was probably a little harder to win.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, you had to get
full-bodied race car.
Pit stops were like something. And you just turned off. You did go crazy. That was his.
Well, I'm fine.
That's my thing. Okay.
No.
I'm the one that talks with my mic.
No.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Otherwise, everything's fine.
Something's breaking in and out.
Man, yeah,
I think it has to do with our.
But that's okay.
There we go.
It's all fine.
It's all in here.
Okay. Hey, Bill.
We're probably running out of battery again.
You know, we talked to a lot of race car drivers over the years, and, you know, most of
them. We don't talk to many that drive a Learjet.
No, but most of them start racing when they're about five or six, and, you know, every once in a while you run. Like this guy.
The late
this,
bloomer.
This guy here, he started racing him when he was in his baby stroller, from what I understand.
Mm.
Driver of the number 4, modified and super late model all over Florida.
Quote, even as a toddler, Blake knew that he wanted to race cars. He enjoyed watching NASCAR on TV and could name many of the drivers before he was very old at all. How cool is that?
That's very cool.
Very cool. Mr. Blake Lear.
Blake Lear.
How you doing, Blake?
I'm doing great over here at the Snooker Grill. I just had a nice dinner and everything, and I'm excited to be here.
I tell you what now, Blake. Looking at your worksheet here, I knew I recognized the name, and when we just figured out that you were at the sprint races at Daytona when I was doing some announcing in 3 and 4.
Just let me step in here for a minute. Blake, I have to straighten my co-host Bill out. Hey, Bill, this is not a worksheet.
I know.
This could be called like a lot of things, but it's not a worksheet, man. It's a hero card.
Yeah, okay.
It's an autograph card. It's not a worksheet.
It's my notes for the moment. Anyway, to be a Triple Crown winner in the World Karting Association in the Florida State region even is kind of an accomplishment because I've been there and watched them race. You were Junior Champ Light, Junior Champ Heavy, and Junior Animal Champ. 9 WKA state wins, 37 Florida feature wins, Beaver Run Motocross Complex a winner, Southern Pit Raceway and North Carolina winner. A lot of traveling with your karting, and now you've stepped into big motors, big cars. How's that all transferring for you? How is it all that karting experience helping now that you're into the open wheel modified?
Well, my first advice for many other kids that I see in the autograph sessions during the races, they come up to me and their dads ask, what should I have him do if he wants to race or anything? And I tell him, go to karting in the WK first off. And they really have a great organization, and they fell down a little bit last year, but I went to one of the races to help one of my buddies out, and they're doing really great now. Their racing is just, it's unbelievable. It really teaches you how to race, and that's where I learned how to race. And their great staff and people that they have there in the World Karting Association. I had an honor to meet Bobby Waltrip. It's the third brother of the Waltrip. He does all the announcing for those races. And those races really taught me how to race and become a good, clean driver and respect my elders and everything like that. And it's really helped me for stepping up into these cars with these elder drivers that I'm with that are very good.
Also helps you learn how to race with an organization, too.
Yes, it does. And to race for points. And it's just all around, it's just the basic learnings of racing, but it's also very competitive. And WK national title is one of a great honor to have.
Now, have you ever run out at the, what's it called, the Coliseum in Daytona when they have 285 entries and stuff for one class?
Yes, I've ran out there in the Coliseum. Sadly, they just tore it down. So I believe I ran there one of the last years. But that was a crazy race to go to. It was a stadium, a football stadium, and the track was just limestone. So they had these 285 carts for one class. I think they had 2,000 drivers, or maybe 3,000.
Over 5 days, they do 2,230-something one time.
Yes. 1 year, I failed to qualify for that race. I was heartbroken. So the next year, I went back, and they only let 30 drivers race. Qualified 23rd or something. Didn't do too well, but that was the start of the 2005 season where I did so great. I finished 7th, and that was actually my worst finish of the year for that national season.
That's not bad against that many drivers.
No, I had one DNF, and that was up in a pavement race all the way up in New York. I was running second with 2 laps to go. I had a lifter break in the engine.
Oh, man. Now, the move up from carts to super late models and open wheel modifieds, what made you decide to go that high?
Well, I know I'm going to NASCAR, and that's my final goal, NASCAR, and I really want an Indy 500 and a NASCAR championship and everything like that. And I knew that it was just the place to go. because, you know, an open wheel modified is really a great auto machine. It's just, it's a machine. It has 600 plus horsepower, 8-inch tires, and that could really teach you how to drive a car, and that's where I really learned how to drive a car. I struggled with it at the little beginning, and I just kept working on it and going practicing and everything like that. And at the mid-season, I started winning some races at Orlando at New Smyrna, and I stepped up into a super late model, which is the highest class you can go to without traveling. And I'm planning on running the whole 2007 season, the Sunbelt Series, and winning some races this year.
Well, a lot of guys we've talked to, the super late model is actually a more technical car than a Winston Cup car. As far as shock setup, I mean, there's more setups in a super late model than there is in those Winston Cup cars. Of course, they go wind tunnel and all that stuff. But in the super late models, guys have told me that if you took them out on at like Talladega, they'd just shake apart.
Well, these super late models, they're amazing machines. They're just, I learn more and more every day. I'm at the race shop with Brian Finney and Wally Finney at the race, and there's my really mentors and everything like that. I just, every day I'm over there, I'm working on my car as hard as I can. I always learn. They really teach me, and I just love learning about them.
Oh, so you work with those guys in at the Finney's machine shop over there, race shop, and you learn all this stuff from them?
Yes, I'm part of their shop. I'm as far as February 1st, mm-hmm. I'm in their shop with them, and all the time, and they're over there, and they're helping me crew chief, and they're helping me learn about these cars.
Did you have some other driver as you first started to get into bigger cars outside of go-karting that kind of helped step up and give you a little mentoring along the way also?
Brian Finney, he's always been there for me. He's a really great guy.
Cool. I mean, it's not easy to do. I mean, I still think it's a difficult transition because go-karts tend to stop when you put on the brake, whereas big cars don't.
So you're being homeschooled. You go to school in a homeschool program, right? Is the reason for that, does that have something to do with your racing?
Absolutely. Program? I go to school 3 days a week on a homeschool basis, and so I can, the rest of the week, I can work on my race cars, get ready for the races. But as I'm going to school, I get to graduate faster, and I still get the high school diploma that I need, and I get all my credits and everything. It's a really great program, and I can do the hours I want, and it's a great program that
I have. Where are you at in that program right now? Are you coming up on your senior year?
I'm actually 16, and I'm a senior.
Cool.
No doubt. Now tell me, how did the Orlando Predators come about as a sponsor on your race car?
Well, my dad right now, he's in Orlando selling Ferraris and Maseratis. That's where he works right now. And Ron House is the Orlando Predators, and he's a really great guy, and he loves racing. My dad started talking to him, and I met Ron House. We had a couple meetings with him, and then the Orlando Predators decided, hey, this is a great opportunity. So they came on board, and we got him a lot of sponsors, and they got a lot of sponsorship, a lot of TV time and news press. So as that went on, we got other sponsors like Blackwater Barbecue, Superior Towing, CheapTicketsCancun.com. All those other great sponsors that I have a pleasure to work with.
Now, do you get any of the Orlando Predator players to come see some races every once in a while?
No, but last year at the Governor's Cup, we had the cheerleaders there at the race
track. Yeah,
cheerleaders. How could we forget?
If anybody was there, they knew that the cheerleaders were there. And
it was cold, too.
Yeah, it was.
But there'll be more at the races this year. They'll have more. And if you watch any of the games, they're having me do some of the coin tosses this year, and I'll have my car there and sign autographs and everything.
I want you to do a donut in the middle of
it. Cool. So if you weren't being a race car driver, what sport would you be involved in?
I enjoy golf.
Really?
Yeah, my man.
Yeah.
There you go.
I enjoy golf.
I'll tee off with you.
I'm not very good at it right now, but I still enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's just like everything else you can
learn.
Just
don't ride on top of the golf cart.
Yeah.
No.
What's the most challenging thing for you about the job of being a race car driver?
Nothing. I love racing.
Yeah.
I just love to get out there and eat it, just chomp every day, just chomping at the bit, keep working on it.
Well, yeah. you have learned in the last probably 3 years how to do just what you're doing now, being able to deal with the media a little better, being able to, you know, let people understand what you're thinking and what you're talking about. As opposed to some of those kart racing times when you're a little younger and you're a little tentative. Did somebody come along and kind of mentor and tutor you in that area to help you get used to talking to the media and doing that kind of stuff?
My parents, my mom and dad, they helped me out, and they knew that this is really a route to go. You have to be able to market and everything like that. And they're exactly right. Everybody's right. If you have sponsors and great sponsors and the fans that come out and make these races happen. I mean, racing wouldn't exist. No sport would exist if a fan base wasn't there to to be there, and they just tell me to respect everything. So
it looks like you make yourself very accessible to the fans, and they get an awesome looking card, you know, with your information, your pictures, and the Predator cheerleaders, of course, are on there. That kind of stuff. But are all those personal appearances that you do for the Predators or any of the other sponsors you have on board, are those some of the things you kind of enjoy to do in now that you get out and talk to people and write your autograph a bunch of times?
I enjoy talking to my fans and everything like that as much as I enjoy sitting in that race car racing every Saturday, Sunday night. I love talking to my fans, and they, just like I said, fans, if fans weren't there, the race wouldn't happen.
Absolutely.
What is your biggest win so far?
My biggest win so far at stock car or go-kart?
Stock car race.
Stock car would be a New Smyrna in a modified, or Orlando in a modified. I think it was New Smyrna in a modified because it was just starting out in the super late model there. Last year, getting my feet wet in those supers. And I had a little incident at the race before that, so I was I had to go out there and tear them up in a modified against some other great modified drivers that are out there that night, like Alan Bruns and some other guys that had a lot more motor than I did.
Now, do you have a karting win that stands higher above those right now because it was so difficult to do or get?
I think my best karting win was at Southern Pit in North Carolina. Third lap of the race, I lost my brakes, and I was just hoping the whole race that a caution wouldn't come because I wouldn't be able to stop, and they would have kicked me out of the race. But luckily, a caution didn't occur, and I won that race.
So, now that you're in the super late model ranks, what's it like racing side by side with, you know, the Choquettes, the Schofields, the Andersons?
Oh, I love it. I love racing these super late models. I could never go back to anything less. I just got to keep moving up. These super late models are, like I said, they're a heck of a machine, and I just love racing with all these guys.
Well, things happen fast like they did at Lakeland a couple weeks ago.
How is it with a broken finger?
Oh, yeah, it wasn't too bad. It only hurt under caution when I started thinking about everything else.
Yeah.
It was lots of caution.
And he talked about some names here locally, but you grew up in Clearwater, Florida, so when it comes to people talking about, you know, the Copes and the Pletchers and so forth, you have that understanding of that history for this area and so forth. Some of those guys, who did you look up to when you were going to the races to watch them at Sunshine Speedway or wherever?
I really respect everybody that's there racing, you know. I mean, they're there, they're spending their money, and they're trying as hard as they can to be there racing, and some days most people have a good day, and some people don't have such a good day, so it doesn't really matter to me. I really respect everybody else there, and since I'm racing with them now, I'm going to try to beat them.
Yeah, that was very diplomatic.
What's coming up for Blake Lear 2007?
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
No, what's coming up for Blake Lear 2007?
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear you.
Whoa. Yeah. Like, this weekend, right. You have a big chore ahead, challenge.
Yeah, this weekend, we got the Blue-Gray 200 at Ocala, which is a great track that to go to. A great guy named Mike Peters owns that track, and he really puts a lot of effort into his tracks, and it seems like a lot of fans always come out to that racetrack to watch races, and he really takes time to go around every weekend since you're there. Every time that you're there, he really goes around to your trailers and thanks you for coming. He's a really great guy, just as well as Terry Roberts at New Smyrna that you guys talked to a little earlier. There's just a couple of names that track owners that really spend a lot of time there. But it's my last race in my modified this weekend. It's called the Blue-Gray 200. Now, we're trying to sell that modified right now, so I can just race strictly super late models for 2007 and 2008, looking to get an ARCA.
All right. Blake, sponsors for your race car?
Orlando Predators, CheapTicketsCancun.com, Blackwater Barbecue, Invisible Car Bras, Superior Towing, and...
Come on. I want to hear the good one. If they give you one of their products, it'd be awesome. Ferrari Maserati of Central Florida.
Yeah, Ferrari Maserati of Central Florida. No, I don't think they're going to give me a $300,000 car.
Just a loaner for a weekend?
No, I've tried a couple times, but they won't let me.
Flip it around Lakeland a couple times.
The Orlando Predators, that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, they're awesome. A great sponsor to have. They're really nice guys.
And that's a great thing, because that's something more racing needs, is more crossover with other sports, a lot more crossover with other sports. They got to be able to do that kind of stuff from now on. So it's pretty awesome, man. Thanks so much for.
So when are you going to do the Predator thing?
The autographs and everything?
Yeah.
Their season's starting up. It's an arena football team, and they're over in Orlando, of course. And I'm going to have my car there, and whatever weekend, if I'm not racing or if they're doing it during the week, maybe. Maybe doing some of the coin tosses and have signing autographs.
Maybe you can get us some tickets.
Absolutely.
All right.
I knew he had a motive.
We'll go to the football game.
I knew he had a motive.
Blake, thanks a lot for being on, brother.
Thank you.
Blake Clear, ladies and gentlemen. How cool is that? Awesome job from the young man. Look forward to seeing him out racing the Blue Gray or anything else he's doing. Make sure you get by and check it out.
My brother just called me from Maine, man. I'm a great uncle.
You're a great uncle?
Yeah, he just became a granddad.
Wow.
Hey, you're going to be a granddad for one of
these days. I am a granddad already.
Oh, really?
Times over, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Hey, how about a quick break, Bill?
Another one?
Yeah, just a quick one.
We're coming back with everybody we haven't got to yet.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be a nightmare. Don't go far, folks. Could we get pretty interesting as we go further through this one. Real Racing USA, Snook River Grill. We'll be back right after these messages.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to sprint car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Real Racing USA live at the Snook River Grill. Why you?
We're going to talk to.
He's waving his hand.
Larry Sams just called us from the ASCS Sprints, and he's going to call us back at the top of the hour.
Oh, okay.
Jack, yeah. Why don't you introduce our guest right there?
We have another young gun. What's that? Yeah. Let me do some mechanical work here. There you go. It's on.
Pit crew there.
And sitting next to me now is another one of these young guns around the Sunshine State, David Wilson, super late model racer. And David, you're from Sarasota, and you had your first big win in the super late models right at the end of last season. What was that like, man?
It was really unbelievable. We needed it because it was just, I can't believe it. Dick and everyone, we all worked so hard for that. And
Dick Anderson.
Dick Anderson, yes, he's our crew chief.
Yeah,
the legendary Dick Anderson.
Yeah. Well, what was it like to get Dick Anderson on board and know that this is not going to hurt my program at all?
It was good because I knew we could only go forward from there, especially with Dick helping us. I mean, I've never heard anyone going backwards when you get help from Dick.
And your first super late model win came at DeSoto Super Speedway.
I had the pleasure of announcing
it. That's right, in the All-American Challenge Series 125, the last race of the year, right?
Correct, yeah. The last race. We really didn't know who was going to win it till the end of the race also.
Who'd y'all run?
Jeff Chiquette.
Ah.
The gunslinger. I'm proud to say that.
The gunslinger got beat by the real sandbagger. Okay.
There was no sandbagging that night.
Oh, no. Hard out.
Matter of fact, there's a lot of sparks flying that night.
That's right.
So now here it is, 2007. The holidays are over. It's time to go after it again. You got a brand new car or two?
Brand new Elite Anderson chassis from Port City. Okay. And an ASA car coming also with a backup. Okay. So we have three late models all together.
Okay, got to help me explain, though. An Anderson chassis from Port City. So Port City makes the original chassis, and then Anderson kind of tweaks it.
No, Anderson thought of the idea and put it on paper, and Port City is building them. Like, production lining them.
Awesome.
For sale to anybody.
It's an Anderson race car.
That's an Anderson race car. Okay, that's what I was wondering. So it's just kind of put together there. That's kind of cool. What was the hardest thing to get a grasp on that Dick Anderson was trying to teach you, kept telling you over and over again? Take your time.
Patience, yeah. There was quite a bit.
You guys are saying Dick Anderson. He also had another mentor there helping him, too.
Who was that?
Junior Purcell.
Oh, my God.
So we had a good team, as you can imagine, most people.
It's like going to a poker game with all kinds of aces stuck in your pockets and up your sleeve and stuff.
That's the best way to put it.
That's pretty much it. But it showed on the racetrack. I mean, what I saw of you at DeSoto, you matured so much so fast. You were right there running with the top guns.
I appreciate that.
It's nothing to appreciate. I mean, it's a cold, hard fact because you came from, like, nowhere. You know, all of a sudden, here's David Wilson that used to race trucks running right there with the top gun.
This ain't lightweight stuff, man. This is tough.
And at the end, you're running out the top gun in the state, Jeff Choquette.
I still can't believe it. I mean, when I sometimes go and look at the pictures and just relive the moment, I still can't believe it.
This is all magical to you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because it's cool.
If we rewind a little bit, though, when I first saw you step into a fast truck and come racing, there was this same situation where you're kind of new to the game, you had to get some skills going, and then suddenly you started stepping up very quickly. You started catching on and being able to go to the outside, go to the inside, do what I got to do to make it happen. When you turned, you went from fast truck kids racing the same night, you went to a pro race,
correct,
and so forth, and you finished very well in both, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember
We were leading the kids, and a mechanical failure, ball joint broke because we didn't check it, and then we finished fourth.
I think you got a third in the
fourth.
Fourth.
Close to a third.
So, I mean, but that was against the pros, and we had a full field, 17 kind of trucks and stuff. And then from there on, you kept doing the same thing. You were stepping up each week, getting a little bit better, a little bit smarter.
Yeah, we won our second race.
Yep.
At Ocala.
And so to see you do this in the late model, it was kind of, you know, hey, that's what he does, man. He comes in there, he tries to learn fast, and he's got a pretty good quick curve.
Yeah, our first highlight of the year was the pole at SeaFest with, I'd say, about 21 cars. That's a Sun Belt race, I believe. So most of the best drivers in Florida were there that run the Sun Belt. And we all qualified them, and that was our highlight until the end of the year where we were able to grab the win at the last race.
That's awesome, man. It really is. And you're on such a great speed
curve.
No yeah.
more.
Yeah,
no,
that's the whole point.
Not.
No, that's the whole. That's
well,
whole
you know,
point.
When you qualify for that C-Fest, it wasn't just taking the pole. You slam, bam, the pole.
Kind of.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of good, a lot of fast cars there. Everybody had been practicing
all weekend.
Choquette
was second.
Yeah,
there at a 4-2, and I believe we had a 4-1.
Right.
Well, and you know,
tenth at DeSoto is a big.
Oh
tenth.
Yeah, no.
Well,
no,
and not only that, these guys like race in the All American Challenge Series in the Sun Belt. Any of these guys from the CRA or any of these other late model series around the country. Remember, we talked with Clay Rogers, who's one of the top drivers in the country.
Clay helped me when I ran some pro.
Yeah, exactly. Cup. And these guys all will tell you that the Florida fields are as strong as anywhere in the country. So when you go out here and you play with these guys and you do good, you're doing something, man.
I agree.
This isn't like Rhode Island late models. This is Florida late models.
That's right.
Rhode
Island.
What's the progressive steps we're going to take now? What are the future hold in the next 5 years, 8 years? Whatever?
Let's stick with this year. What are you doing this year?
We are running about half the Sun Belt series. We have a possible of 35 races we can run this year. We're going to try to make as many as we can.
What different series will you be in then?
Sun Belt, AACS, ASA South North Challenge. All three of the ASA late models, Zane, about three Pro Cup races possibly, and some dirt modifieds up in Middletown, New York, my grandpa used to race.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So, what's the idea that you just are going to race all of these various things to get more experience? You're not racing
for more experience, but we're going to try to grab the title in the South, ASA South.
Oh, okay. That's a full-time deal.
Right, that's a full-time deal.
Okay.
Well, and now, let's go to 3 years down the road, 4 years. You got any plan in your head, kind of like where you'd want to go?
Well, I know by then I hope to be noticed and picked up possibly by a NASCAR team and making our way in to the big league then. But I really haven't thought, you know, that's just what we hope to do. I haven't thought.
One thing that that impressed me, Bill, and you being an announcer, when you get somebody new in the winner's circle, you know, it's always they stomp on you. Not this guy, man. This guy can talk for you.
No, he learned that pretty quick after running them fast programs and stuff that I stayed on him about knowing his sponsors and stuff. But quit turning around looking at the truck and
right.
And such like that. So he picked up on it pretty good and did a good job.
Yeah, now I just got to stare down in my suit instead of turning around.
That's right.
So you're going to run like maybe half of the Sunbelt races?
Just about, I think we calculated about half and three quarters to 7/8 of DeSoto.
Now, is that dictating anything that happens? Let's say you go to the first three Sunbelt races and you do really well, and so you're in the top two or three in points. Is that going to dictate, hey, we'll run some more of those?
Well, a lot of the ASA Challenge races we wish to run, like the big ones that a lot of people want to run, Bristol and Nashville, they are on the same night as the Sunbelt. So we are probably going to run the ASA instead of the Sunbelt.
Is that for some of the exposure you'll get there with
yes.
TV maybe and so
correct.
Forth happening?
So
and just because it's Bristol, who doesn't want to race?
Oh, there? Yeah, no
right.
doubt.
So have you been to like various driving schools, stock car racing? Or
I've never been to a driving school.
So you're going to Dick Anderson Jr. Purcell School.
That's right.
That's the grown-up
best school. The best school there is, I think.
That's
they let you run wild, you know?
Yeah, that's like the frontier school.
Yeah, they pump you up and let you go, and then they'd rather tame you.
They go
bring
hunt,
you back down.
They
stuff.
Go hunt serious bear.
Junior said when he won that race, he crossed the start-finish line and said, we're going fishing.
That's right.
He promised we would because I go fishing with Junior a lot. And I was like, are we going fishing Sunday, Junior? And he's, well, I don't know. And I was like, if I win tonight, then you have to go fishing with me. And he's like, okay. So, but I mean, we didn't, not negative. We didn't expect to win. And when we did, we were like, I was excited, so.
You never seen two old men run so damn fast.
Yeah, they were getting there.
To get to that winner's circle, yes, sir. That
was
really
good. Take me back for just a second, though. Where did you start racing? When did you decide that you wanted to try whatever form of racing you got into first?
Well, my dad was nice enough to buy me a go-kart, and I had a lot of energy when I was little, and the doctor said they were going to prescribe me on Ritalin, and my dad was like, no, we're not going to do that. I'm going to find him a way to use his energy. So he bought a go-kart.
Good for you, Dad. Good
against,
for you.
My biggest rival since I was eight has been Anthony Campy. And we ran, and I think we won 11 out of 13 races our first year or two in the go-karts and then just kept
just
moving
for
up.
Just for the record, Dad, Ritalin's cheaper than the go-kart was. But
okay. To hell with right. Ritalin. 120 octane.
There you go.
That's
awesome.
There you go. Man. That's good.
That's awesome.
So you're getting ready to go test over at the South's fastest short track, New Smyrna.
I'm so excited to try that new asphalt.
America's fastest.
I work at the South's fastest.
Oh, that's right. That's America's fastest short track. New Smyrna.
God, keep that straight. We'll hear about
I'm really excited for that. Because
sorry, John. Go ahead.
It's just the new asphalt. It's just it should be smooth and you should just feel like you're on a cloud. You know, Lakeland was. I only got to run four laps there in practice and. That felt pretty unbelievable. I can't wait to run on the smooth asphalt at New Smyrna.
Now, has Dickie and Junior been talking about making changes already before you even get there and race because they've taken some of the bump out here, they've taken new asphalt, that kind of thing?
Yes, but I wasn't around.
So will they be there with you for the testing?
Of course they will.
Oh, okay.
Both of them, yeah.
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 Wow.
Well, that's awesome.
They got you on a short leash, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Yeah, do me a favor though.
Yeah, we have run New Smyrna before on the old track, with the bumping.
But
especially coming out of.
Don't become a handbag driver where you just show up and go race.
Oh, so you?
Car.
So
oh, no. I go to the shop when I have time because school's a tough schedule. I have a lot of doing a lot of college hours this year to get out of the way next year. I think I'll have. I don't know. I was told I forgot, but I'm gonna have a lot of college hours out of the way my senior year. For next year, so I have a longer summer to race and focus more on racing. So when school permits, I go. And right now, I have about a 4.0 weighted GPA with my college classes.
What's our major?
Awesome.
Major? It was going to be engineering, then I realized a driver should be able to market himself. So I'm going to try for marketing and then engineering.
Very cool.
4.0? 4.0,
yes.
That's just not good enough, David.
No, it's not really. No, it's not. I'm not kidding. My dad's not happy with it.
So you ran you did run the Bright House Challenge late model series, super late model series over at New Smyrna.
Yes,
last year.
The last race at the Bright House also.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It was good. We were second for a while, and then veteran BJ McLeod passed us, and
he cheated.
Like, no comment.
Jack.
No offense, BJ.
We opened up a wound there.
No, me and BJ are good buds.
Yeah, I know
that. I talk to BJ all the time.
I know that.
At least I think we're buds. Hopefully he'll say the same
absolutely
thing.
Absolutely, you are.
Yeah, wait till you're coming out of turn four side by side on the very last drop.
Right?
Yeah. We'll see how bud you
My
are.
My money's on David. I've already seen him do that.
That was a racing incident. It was.
Yeah. It was, no doubt.
Said it was there. Well, they didn't. It was half and half. I could have busted on the gas.
So this year, in 2007, what do you have to do? What do you have to accomplish with these races that you've sort of set out, the goals you've set out? What do you have to accomplish for you to feel, what is it you have to accomplish so that you feel like you had a great year?
Win as many races as we can and the ASA South Championship. I know our team is capable. And I know our cars are capable, and if luck goes our way, and I think I'm capable enough to do that. And if we have the luck, then that's what I hope to achieve, say a good year. A win in every ASA series to be the second driver to do that, like Landon Cassill was the first driver. And I hope to copy him in that and win Sunbelt races, the Soto races, and the championship.
All right, I'm looking forward to watching.
To be the new hot shot of Florida is what I hope to do.
I'm looking forward to watching
that?
The new hot shot of Florida is what I hope
all
to
right
do.
Yes, sir. He's got a good chance at it, too, man. He's a good race car driver.
We'll come back to that in just a second there.
Come back to what? What are we coming back to?
Yeah, sorry to say, you're top of the hour.
We've got to take a couple of minutes.
Real quick, David, sponsors on your race car.
Well, the main sponsor is my dad. Couldn't do it without him. And my family. And my mom, because I know she's listening right now. She told me to thank you, so thank you, Mom. And just my dad works his butt off every week, and he sees just about 50, and he still works over 50 hours a week. It's crazy, just so I can race. He works Sundays, and all the time he can spend with his family, he spends on stuff for me. Either we go to the shop or something. He doesn't like getting noticed, but it is all because of my dad.
Well, you know what, Dave?
And then Ferguson Waterworks, Pizza Chef, and... a blank. That's it, I think.
You know what, right, David? When you are your dad's age, you're probably going to do the exact same thing.
I hope. And I hope when I make it to NASCAR, which is soon, my dad can just retire, and that's the first thing I'm going to do with the first cut of my paycheck is just, Dad, I owe you this and about 10 times more. So.
Well, I tell you what, it's nice to know that you appreciate him that much because I can tell you, in the last 2 years, he got a few gray hairs watching you out there.
Yes, he
did. No doubt about it.
Definitely did.
I mean, all right, man. We'll be talking to you as the season goes along, and I'm sure we'll talk to you at New Smyrna.
Hopefully, I'll get to talk to you in
the morning. Yes, we're running the Pete Orr Memorial and the Richie Evans Memorial. So
cool.
We'll be there.
Good deal.
All right.
Hope to see some fans there.
All right. Thanks a lot, David.
Okay. So
Before we go, we're going to talk to what is happening at Charlotte County Motorsports Park with these crazy
introduce Father Time.
Yeah, you got to tell them who we're talking to.
Bill
Hunt.
This is Santa
Bill
Claus.
Hunt.
Okay, so look, Bill Hunt from Charlotte County Motorsports. It's on. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
Charlotte County Motorsports
up.
Park. You guys have come up with some crazy idea grudge match with semis and figure eights. What
is
this all
about? I don't know
about
a grudge match, but it is a match with semis. Now, we're going to have a figure eight semi race. There's going to be about a dozen trucks in the race.
Y'all are out of your mind.
Well, it's between Nana's Transport out of Cape Coral, Florida, and Heritage Transport out of Fort Myers.
Yeah.
And they're going to have about six trucks each. But we also have some renegades that are coming in. One guy said he's going to bring a cab over. There's somebody else who's suspicious that might bring something else in. So it ought to be an interesting
Leroy?
Race.
A jet truck?
Leroy?
I don't know. We hadn't heard from Lee. I don't know if he owns a semi anyway.
That's coming Saturday night at Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
Charlotte County.
Early Saturday afternoon, about 3 in the afternoon, you hotwire one and you drive it over.
Semis on the figure eight.
Semis on the figure eight.
I've heard it all.
Yeah. Yes, this is going to be an interesting race. Plus, we're going to have the four-cylinder boat races on the figure eight. Four-cylinder cars pulling boats. We can bring some V8s, too. We're going to have a boat race on the figure eight.
Four-cylinder's not heavy enough to
carry
a boat down
the road. When did Bill become
a
promoter? Isn't it amazing?
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's absolutely amazing.
Well, we might have a demo derby if we can get enough cars to show up. We might have who knows what. It's a motorsports night of madness.
Listen, if you can get guys to bring their semis out, I don't think you should have too hard a time getting people to find some old beat-up cars to wreck.
That's it.
What looking, you got, Bill? Looking Jack, forward for the semi.
Jack thought he'd heard everything. He has not heard about Loxley, Mississippi. Larry Sams, what's going on, buddy?
It's Loxley, Alabama, Bill.
Okay, Alabama. They're close, ain't they? They're cousins.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's just above Mobile, Alabama.
Now, what's this USCS Rebel deal we've been talking about? We heard about it before.
ASCS.
ASCS
Rebel deal.
Hey, well, what can I say?
We're going to run 360 sprint cars in Georgia, Alabama, and North Florida. And we're doing this first race with the Coastal Region, another new ASCS division. It'll be a joint venture between the two of us in Loxley at the Deep South Motor Speedway, and we're going to race Saturday afternoon on the dirt. They open the gates at 10 for the pits, 12 o'clock for the grandstands, and they start racing at 2.
That sounds like a good early afternoon. What kind of, how many dates you got for 2007?
I think we've got 11 right now. We're looking at 15 before we finish, somewhere close to that.
Well, that's pretty good. That'll be a good bunch of races for the guys and gals to get out to and get a chance to go racing. So we'll look forward to helping keep the word out and stuff, man, as we go along, hopefully.
Our first two entries for Loxley are Terry Gray and Wayne Johnson.
There you go. It's all right. We tried to call Wayne earlier. Wayne didn't answer his phone when I needed him, so unfortunately
we'll get him on next week.
Next week.
He's resting up for Saturday. He knows he's going to have his hands full.
All right, man. Thanks so much, Larry.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, man. Thanks. That Rebel Region deal. You guys,
Did we get through it all? What do we do tonight? What do we get done here?
Somebody tell me. Blake Lear, David Wilson, Marvin Pants, Rob Kohler, Jack Landis.
Tony V.
Shelley Perry, Terry Roberts, and Bill Hunt.
Amazing.
And Larry Sams.
Sandbagger and Larry Sams. And
next week we have the owner of Suicide Circle Speedway in Georgia, Strollin' Nolan. Amazing guy. We'll have some World of Outlaws.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Hope to have Kevin Gobrek from Australia.
Yeah, we'll
Australia racer.
Hopefully.
We'll also get to talk to Steve Arpin out of Fort Frances, Ontario, Canada. He was the winner of two nights in a row at North Florida Speedway.
Supposed to have a show this Sunday.
And he's running this week at Volusia.
Oh, we forgot all about it. We're having a special show Sunday live from Volusia
County Speedway.
There you go.
Speed Park, whatever they call it these days.
And here's the trick. Whatever. We're not going to tell you when. You just got to tune in all day because we're not sure how many times
we'll tell you.
We'll get closer and tell you more, but we're going to try to do some stuff before the race, maybe even during.
Keep up with it all at realracingusa.com.
Well, it sounds like it's time
play the music,
to hit
Bill.
The house, buddy. Thanks so much, folks, for hanging out with us tonight. Real Racing USA coming to you every Tuesday night. We appreciate you listening in. We hope you get a chance to listen some more during the week, as we will be back on the air on Sunday with a special edition Inside Florida Racing. Thanks so much. Good night, everybody.
Sometime in the morning. Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill. We'll see you next Tuesday night. Good night now. When the bright lights have faded to blue, I was thinking about a woman that had loved me. I never in my
one more time. Take it to the limit. Take it to the limit. Take it to the limit. One more time. To the limit, one more time.